So it seems like rudeness is on the rise, doesn't it? Just even the past few years, people are just much more tense, just much more vulgar to each other. You notice this certainly whenever you're driving. You notice it whenever you go to a restaurant. I haven't been to a restaurant in a while where I haven't overheard someone just lay into a server for almost no reason, right? Scroll through social media, you'll see people outraged and offended about everything. You can post, Jesus loves you. Well, what do you mean Jesus loves you? Are you saying that Jesus doesn't love me, huh? Is that what you mean? And you just kind of wonder, what is wrong with people, right? I mean, goodness. But if you feel like things are getting more tense and more vulgar, you're not crazy. You're not wrong. In fact, there was a New York Times article a couple years ago. It was titled, Rudeness is on the Rise. You got a problem with that? And it cites a few reasons. One is that since COVID, that just relationships are damaged. We're much more distant than we used to be. But also even things like tensions from our media and political landscape. But it is true that people are just much more abusive to each other, physically, verbally. Common courtesy just isn't so common anymore. In fact, the other day I was on the phone with someone and this person just laid into me, just yelled at me, and then before I could even respond, hung up on me. And it was one of those where I start like talking and then I realize that no one's there. Have you ever had that where you just kind of stare at the phone and go, huh, well, when did this end? the thing I said was, I said, well, how rude. And then I said, well, I have some time on my hands, so let me go prepare for the sermon. I open up 1 Corinthians 13:5, love is not rude. Okay, I think this is applicable today, right? Love is not rude. What is rudeness? Well, ultimately what it is, it's a lack of respect. It is a lack of respect for others. It's caring only about me, looking out for number one, not caring about anyone else, not caring their feelings, who they are. You can sum it up in one word, which is selfishness. Love is not rude, selfish. The world is increasingly rude, but God calls us to be not rude. In fact, 1 Peter 2:17 says, show proper respect to everyone. And when you think about that word everyone, who does that include? Well, it includes your kids, right? It includes your spouse. It includes that guy at work who's really mean to you. It includes people you don't even know all that well. Even your mother-in-law, Democrats, Republicans, unbelievers, atheists, politicians, it includes everyone when Peter says, show respect to everyone. So the question then is why? Why would you want to show respect to people? And the answer is two reasons. If you're a note taker, and we also have these online as well, but if you're a note taker, they're inside of your bulletin, circle things, write these things in. The first one is because Jesus died for everyone. Once again, that word, everyone. Jesus died for everyone. One of the things that Peter says, he says that you were redeemed with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. So why be nice to someone? Because, after all, Jesus paid the price of his own blood for that person. So you may not think much about your next door neighbor or that guy at work who's really mean to you, but Jesus does. Jesus loves them and Jesus died for them. In fact, Matthew 25, one of the really interesting verses that Jesus gives is he says that in the end, there will be a judgment day. And the qualification of being judged here is simply how you treat other people. He says this, he says, I was sick and you came and visited me. I was thirsty. You gave me something to drink. I was hungry. You gave me something to eat. I was in prison and you visited me. And then we'll say, well, Lord, when did we do that to you? And Jesus will say, any time that you've done it for the least person, you have done it to me. So that's how important this really is that Jesus died for everyone. Jesus created everyone. And so we are to respect other people. We are to love other people. The second reason here is because it shows that I know God. It shows that I know God. Once again, how do you know if you're a real believer? Well, according to 1 John here, we are to look at our relationships. It says, whoever does not love does not know God. And it even tells you the reason for it is because God is love. So it's not even that God has love or that God does love. It's that God himself is love. And so a litmus test for a true believer is not just simply that you have all the right doctrines, that you simply have all the right beliefs, but also that you must have love, because whoever does not love does not know God. See, this was the issue with the Pharisees, the religious leaders of Jesus' day. They were kind of like the Puritans, if you will, where they were trying so hard to follow God's law to a T. And they tried that. They even had all these laws and rules around what's considered work, because we don't want to do work on the Sabbath. And so they tried really hard to follow God's laws. But in doing so, they missed love. And as a result, they were rude. As a result, they missed out on this. In fact, this is why they had such a problem with Jesus, because Jesus was love, and he loved people, and he cared for them, and he went out of his way to find the people who were the broken and marginalized in society. He found the outsiders. In fact, Luke 15, the Pharisees have this run-in with Jesus, and they say that this man, Jesus, cannot be from God, because after all, look who he's associating himself with. Look at, he's eating with the outcast of society. He's eating with people like the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the lepers. And Jesus befriended them. Now, he did not approve of their sins, of course not, but he did accept them. He did respect them. It's something the Pharisees could not handle. And that is how Jesus loved people, and that's how Jesus calls us to love people today. So how do we do that? I'm going to give you guys three things. The first one here is, when you speak to people, be tactful, not just truthful. Speak to people, be tactful, not just truthful. So tactfulness really is just simply thinking before you speak. You see, here's the thing. The way that you speak, how you say things, is either going to enhance your message or it is going to take away from your message. You can say the same words in 5 different ways and you'll get 5 different responses, right? Why is that? Well, it's all because of how you say it. We are called to be tactful. Ephesians 6 says this phrase, and I absolutely just love this phrase. And it simply says, speaking truth in love. Speaking truth in love. You know, sometimes people put these two things at opposites. They say, either we must tell someone the truth and not love them, or we must lie to them and somehow that's love. And one of the things that you guys are going to see, we're going to expand upon this later in our series in April. Come back, bring your friends. But we're going to be talking about love and how love delights in the truth. And that's absolutely true, of course, that true love is not going to lie to someone. But it is amazing at how sometimes we treat these as polar opposites. We say we must either lie to a person and accept everything that they do because somehow that's loving, when no, actually the two go hand in hand, truth and love. But how we say things is super important, because one thing that people make a mistake of, Christians often fall in this category, I myself have fallen in this category, where you use the truth like a club to beat people. That you use it in a way to somehow try to beat people down with it. And that's not what we're called to do. We're called to speak truth, but we're called to do it with tactfulness. We're called to do it in love. In fact, Proverbs 15 says this. It says, a soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. So why would you, if you're trying to speak truth to someone, why would you hinder that message with not being tactful, with rudeness? Instead, that you want to enhance your message, say it in a way that people will actually receive it. Because what good does it do if you say something, but it just simply falls on deaf ears? What point is that? A soothing tongue is a tree of life, but a perverse tongue crushes the spirit. You know, the old phrase we all grew up with, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names, words will never hurt me. And it can't be farther from the truth, because we all know that a broken bone can heal in a few weeks, but an emotional scar can last years. In fact, I'll talk with some people and they'll bring up something that someone said to them decades ago, and it's still, that wound is still fresh today. Isn't it amazing that emotional scars have the ability to do that? You know, it's also funny, sometimes people brag about being rude. Have you guys ever heard this, where people say things like, well, I just tell it like it is. I don't care if it offends people. Well, so what? I mean, that's not candor, that is simply rudeness. You gotta say things in a way that people actually hear it, otherwise there's just no point in saying it. And so one of your questions that you should ask yourself whenever you are sharing truth with someone is why? Why am I sharing this with the person? Is it because I love them and I care about them? And let's just say you're having to share difficult truth with someone and you want them to change, turn away from their sins and come back to God. Let's just say that's the situation. Are you sharing this with the person so that way they hear it, they repent and they turn back to God? Or are you simply saying it as a way of beating them down and then somehow puffing yourself up to make yourself feel better? Why are you sharing that truth? If it's concern for the other person, then you should share it, but you should also share it with tactfulness, truth and love. All right, the next thing here is whenever you disagree with someone, be gentle, but not judgmental. Gentle, but not judgmental. So here's the thing, as a Christian, I see things that happen all the time in my life, in the world around me, on social media, in the news, in my family, many things I see that I disagree with. And is God really calling me to be the moral police of every single person, of every single thing that I see? No, because here's why. Romans 14 says this. It says, each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on each other. What this does is it teaches us two things from this verse. Number one, it's that everyone is going to give an account to God. They absolutely will. But also, it says this. It says that I am not God, right? Whenever people die and it is the judgment time, I am not the one who sits on that judgment throne. No one has to give an account to me, but rather they do have to give an account to God Almighty, but not to me. So let's look at this from a couple of different angles. So for unbelievers, sometimes it's easy to pass judgment on unbelievers because we say, how is it that they do this thing? Don't they know that God's ways are different? How come they don't follow the Bible? Because they don't believe in the Bible. Duh. I mean, right? Like, there's many things that I don't follow or obey because I don't believe in those things, but I do believe in the Bible, so I try to follow the Bible. In the same way, we could look at an unbeliever and it's easy to pass judgment on them, but just to recognize that, well, they are living the ways of the world because that is the values that they subscribe to. But remember those two things about this verse here in Romans 14, that they will give an account to God, but also I am not God, all right? They will have to give an account to God, but not to me. Now, for Christians, however, it's a little bit of a different story. You know, Christians are so funny. We are really known for attacking each other and disagreeing with each other. So this past week, for some reason, I really started getting into an Instagram account and watching videos on YouTube, totally separate platforms, separate channels, separate people that made these. But both of them had the one thing in common, which was that these two channels were Christians tearing down other Christians. And they would say things like, you know, these mega church pastors and these Christian musicians, all they are, they're just doing it for the money. Whoa, that's quite an accusation. Are they doing it just for the money? I mean, maybe, but also, like, how could anyone possibly know that? Like, I don't know who these people are. I mean, I know of their music, I know of their sermons, but I don't know them personally. And even if I did know them personally, would I really be able to judge their heart? Of course not. Only God can do that. But again, going back to this verse here from Romans 14, God does know their heart. And so everyone will have to stand at the throne and give an account. And so if there is someone who is corrupt and taking money and exploiting Christians or something like that, if they are doing that, then yes, they will have to stand before the throne of God and give that account. But they will give it to God, not to me. And especially in the year of our Lord 2025, and me being me, in my context, not even really knowing these people, I am unable to pass that kind of judgment. It would be wrong for me to judge someone's heart that way and to say something that is probably not even true. And even if it was, how would I possibly know? Christians fight with each other. You know, we do fight about the most important issues though, don't we? Worship styles, you know, drums in worship. Drums have to be in worship. Drums can't be in worship. You can only worship with the organ. You can't worship with the organ, right? The color of the carpet, the color of the altar, what time that we meet on a Sunday morning, all the really important things that the world just looks at us, you gotta imagine. And you gotta imagine they just kind of take a seat back and laugh a little bit, right? And just go, look at these guys just attacking, tearing at each other. Love is not rude. 1 Corinthians 5, love is not rude. Okay, let's go on to our third one here. Speaking of the world, speaking of outsiders, when you share your faith with people, respect them, but do not reject them. Respect, do not reject. So this verse comes from Colossians. It says, be wise in the way you act towards outsiders and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt so that you may know how to answer everyone. Let's break down this verse here. Make the most out of every opportunity. I can't tell you how many opportunities you have to share your faith. In any given period of time, within a week, you have several opportunities. Within a day, even, you may have several opportunities to share your faith. And what we're called to do from this verse here in Colossians is what? We are to make the most out of every opportunity. That we, the things that we do, how we conduct ourselves with our friends, with our neighbors, how we conduct ourselves is a witness, that we are witnessing to our friends and neighbors the way that we act, good or bad, right? That is our witness. How we treat people on social media is our witness. It's amazing that, you know, one of the phrases that our students know more than anyone, it's that the internet never forgets. I mean, how amazing it is for those of you who are older than teenagers, all right? Could you imagine growing up in a world where you could say one thing and then be forever unhirable, right? But isn't that how it works? And also, that is your witness, that you could say something and it can turn people away from Jesus just for one post, just for one comment that you make. Isn't it amazing that social media has that kind of power? And you may say to yourself, yeah, but also I don't get outside very much maybe. You say, I don't really have many opportunities to share my faith because I don't know many unbelievers. Well, there's your first step. Get to know unbelievers, all right? It's not hard in our world, okay? That look around at your neighbors. Do you know all of your neighbors? Get to know them. And all, if you go to work and you're just the kind who likes to close your door and you know, shove your face into a rectangle and stare at that all day. Get to know people around the water cooler. It is amazing at how Christians, we are so easy to kind of live in this bubble. Get outside the bubble a little bit, get to know people. And also whenever you're outside of that bubble, get to know them in a way where you're actually caring for them, where you're actually taking an interest in their lives in some way. And this is huge because whenever someone comes up to a situation and they need help and they want prayer, they need support, then they know that they can count on you. They can come to you because they know that you're a Christian. You can pray with them. You can help them in those ways. Let your conversation always be full of grace. Take those opportunities. Don't back down. 1 Peter 3 says this. It says, always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. So always be prepared to give an answer. So whenever someone asks you a question about your faith, be prepared to have an answer. It doesn't mean that you're going to have all the answers. In fact, if you don't know something, you know what you should say? You should say, I don't know, all right? Because if you make something up, well, then you'd be lying to them. But have an answer for some things. You know, if you believe in God, if you get up early on a Sunday morning and you come to a place like this, people may ask you, well, that's kind of odd. You actually believe in God? Why do you make the effort to come to a place like this on a Sunday morning? What would you say? And 1 Peter says that we're called to have an answer for that. Called to have an answer for the hope that we have. See, hope. But also to do it with gentleness and respect. Once again, sharing our faith should not be something that we use as a club to beat people over the head. I alluded to it earlier, but how can you use your social media platforms? Are you using it in a way that brings glory to God? Are you using it in a way to tear other people down? You know, one of the things that we started doing recently with our church social media pages, our Facebook, Instagram account, YouTube, is that we actually started posting things throughout the week. And the purpose of it really is starting places for you guys where we come to worship and we hear God's word, but you know what? Monday comes around, Tuesday comes around. By Wednesday, no one remembers what we talked about, right? And so our goal really with social media is to give you guys things throughout the week where you can read them, you can find encouragement, you can be pointed back to, oh yeah, that's what we talked about on Sunday, and then to be able to start to apply those things, live out those things. But also, whenever you see these posts, I mean, really, I encourage you, just take those things and share them out, because you just don't know who needs to hear this. If you have 40 friends, or some of you guys have thousands of friends on Facebook or Instagram, but it is amazing. There's power in it. If you share it out, it's amazing at who could see it, because you just never know that it could strike a chord with someone who really, really, really needs to hear these things. And I got to say, out of all the ways to share your faith in 2025, like, social media is a gift in this way that it's never made it easier to be able to do, where you can just take things, click, share. Shared my faith today, all right? I mean, it really is that easy. But our goal here for Hope really is to be a place that is warm, that is welcoming, because our culture is increasingly rude, that people are used to it. They're used to going to restaurants and being talked to in a really aggressive and rude way. They're used to going to the grocery store and being pushed around. So whenever they come to a place like this, that this can be a place where it's different. It's different than the world, where people greet each other with gentleness and respect from 1 Peter here, or from Colossians, that we are known of being a place that is full of grace. And really, that is our goal. And we hear this from people whenever in our new member class, that's the thing that they talk about, is they talk about, you know, that I come here and I feel welcomed, and that I get to know people. And it's all about these connections. It's all about these relationships. And really, that is our calling here, is to be a place like that, different than the world. This could also be a place where people can come and they can lay down their burdens. They could lay down their sins. They can confess to God and say, you know what, God, I've been living a certain way and thinking about rudeness. We can identify many things that we have said and done this past week, right? That we can identify and say, God, I'm sorry for living that way. I repent. And then to receive forgiveness, to be reminded that we have Jesus and his suffering and dying on the cross, to receive that forgiveness, to receive that eternal life. And then a place where we can share the good news about forgiveness, about eternal life. See, the truth is that many people are rude today because they are insecure. That they lash out at people only because they themselves have not truly embraced the love that Jesus has to offer to them. And so today, may we embrace that love, but then also may we share it out with others. May we live it out, not just here, but in our homes is where it really begins. to our workplaces, when we're out in public, when we're driving, when we're on social media. May we live out the phrase, love is not rude. Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for this time this morning where we can just pause and look so deeply at 1 Corinthians 13, where it gives us what true love really is and how it's different than the world and how it's challenging, how it's difficult, but love is not rude. Help us to be able to treat others with respect. Help us to treat others the way that you did, to accept people, to love them, to get to know them, to care for them, and to be able to show them your love. We pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.